Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Hey!
What it do?
You okay?
I just wanted to double up.
Double up?
It's Friday.
Double up Friday?
And we're going to rock you today.
We are rocking you on a Friday. Let's go.
It's hot out there, and we are hot, and sports is hot.
It is a little warm.
You like those?
That's the analogies are just flowing.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Yeah.
We're a 5,000 watt blowtorch. I don't know how many watts the station is.
How many watts are we?
I don't know.
Anybody know that?
That was back in the day.
I don't understand wattage.
I don't know.
You know? It's like meters.
It's some form of measuring power. How about BTU, British Thermal Units? 46,000 BTUs coming at you from Primetime.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I'm going to look up our wattage. I'm going to start promoting our wattage.
Oh, well, they used to promote that.
I know, but I don't think we have great wattage, therefore I don't think they promote it anymore.
My home station back in the Bay Area did the same thing. They would all, I mean, you could like hear it in Sacramento or whatever, and they'd be like, from a 50,000 kilowatt blowtorch signal or whatever,
right,
like
ready to go.
At nighttime, and you could even get it out in Nevada in the desert.
If you ever thought about like radio measuring penis size, that's the equivalent
wattage.
Of, wattage. You know, you can't listen to that station. They got no wattage
over here.
Bro.
We're a 50,000 watt station.
And here I was saying 5,000.
Which I don't think is great.
We had micro wattage. 50,000?
I don't think that's great.
What are you talking about? That's great.
It powers down at night, which I think is 5 o'clock, which pisses people off in Salem.
Yeah.
Because they're listening, and then all of a sudden it's only 9,000 watts at night.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So we become watt flaccid after 5?
I think so.
Hey, you know what? How long's the station been around?
Well, this station started in 1968. Remember we talked about this the other day with KWJJ.
Then we can't ask our station to perform at the same level it used to all day, every day.
Well, I know. I think that's why they dialed it down to 9,000
watts. The fact that we can still get it up to 50,000 watts... Let's not view the negative of 9,000 ladies or men. It's 2025. Let's focus on our ability to still get to 50,000 watts for a significant period of time. I think that's very good. And then maybe we can find some sort of radio pill at night to maybe get us up to like 30,000 watts. So we still feel like we're bringing some good heat.
I'm going to look up highest wattage station. 50,000.
By the way, volts times amps equals watts, even though no one knows what volts
Volts times amps? That's what I thought.
And yet you don't know what a volt is.
No.
Nor do you know what an amp is.
50,000 watts is the highest permitted wattage for a commercial AM radio station in the United States.
Then I want an apology from you that 50,000, you said 50,000 is not bringing the heat.
Well, it's not.
It is.
No, it isn't. Because we're on the AM.
Well, for what we are, we're bringing the maximum
wattage.
We're bringing maximum heat. We're thrusting as hard as we can with the wattage.
Yeah, in single A. Okay.
Well, I don't like, look at you. Look at you.
Wait, wait.
Wait.
Are we North Dakota State?
Wait, there's more.
North Dakota, yeah, like we are the bison.
Like we're just like the big, bad, epic dynasty of the second tier.
That's what we're doing. And you know what? We'll beat some of the 100,000 watt stations. Wait, is there a 100,000 watt station?
Well, anybody? Let me read this to you.
I can't wait.
In North America, the highest allowed wattage for a Class A FM radio station is... Mm-hmm. So AM, it was 50,000 watts.
Yes.
For FM, the answer is... 50,000 watts.
So, look. Our watts are as big as anyone's watts.
Yes. Yes.
You take a backseat wattage to no man.
Now, it says, some stations, particularly those with older licenses or in Mexico, may have been grandfathered in and operate under different agreements, potentially reaching much higher power levels like 320,000 watts.
Oh, my God. The Mexicans are doing it better than us. dominating us.
If we crank the fan up to 320,000 watts.
What would happen?
What would happen?
Well, the government would come for us.
The government?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell is going
on? Can we take our chance that maybe Doge cut that and they won't notice?
He'd probably tell us that if we kept doing it, that there's going to be problems.
Going to be problems.
That would be my guess. In fact, maybe that's where that clip comes from. Maybe at night we turned it up and Trump got wind of it and was like, no, you guys aren't doing this anymore.
Well, it's a 50,000 watt AM blowtorch right in your ear.
Yeah.
On a beautiful Friday, Northwest day.
Rocking you on a Friday.
Why did I say that?
I don't know. No one knows.
Yeah, big show, I think. Joey Harrington's going to come on today.
Really big show.
You know what we're going to have him do?
What?
He is going to power rank his top three meats.
Well, yeah, because when you came in, I was
rocking you on a Friday. Why did I say that?
I was eating some lamb that I was reheating. In the commissary over there.
They're eating the pets.
Turns out lamb may be a bit of a controversial.
You were eating the pets?
Yeah, I was eating the pets. By the way, you blew right by. You didn't have a second look. I offered lamb and you were like,
no, it looked good.
I got no time.
It looked like it was left over from a restaurant, but you said it was homemade.
That's homemade.
I was very impressed by that. Well, but no, I did not want
You passed that on to the BTJ. I can assure you that I did not make those delicious lambs. Those were hot honey with like a feta cheese crumble lamb slider.
What was the lamb's name?
I think it was Mittens.
God,
little Mittens. Yeah. Well, I feel bad because I love lamb, but I don't like mutton, so I only like the babies. You know, which kind of makes me feel like a big jerk. But if those lambs wanted to be alive to make adult sheep, they should be less delicious when they're babies, because lamb is delightful. Mutton, a little chewy.
That's classic souk, pinning it on the victim.
No. I don't
keep doing it.
I'll tell you what, that little lamb, if it could, I'm guessing it would take a bite out of me too. It's called food chain.
You think so?
I don't know.
You think if like humans were the bottom of the food chain?
Well, stuff does.
Would we be like served in little turtle restaurants and stuff, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the turtles are.
I don't believe lambs eat meat. A lamb would not take a bite out of you.
You don't know that?
I'm pretty sure that they are herbivores.
Okay, well, they're a vegan restaurant, or like.
I like.
We don't
have
vegan souk.
I like you said pretty. You said pretty certain. You don't know.
Well, I mean, if you gave a lamb dog food, would it eat it? Maybe, but I mean, it doesn't naturally eat meat.
Well, all I'm saying is, if we were the bottom of the food chain, are we served in animal restaurants?
Yes, because look, if you go way back.
Or are we like, what food, what animal don't we eat?
If you go, we eat everything.
We kind of do eat everything, but
just certain places. But we, if you go other countries, they eat dogs.
Do we eat geese?
Oh, absolutely. They don't eat anything.
They're eating the dogs. Yeah.
Well, if you go way back, I mean, this is about to get uncomfortable, but if you go back into like the early human stuff, we had the different, we had like the Neanderthals, and then you had like the Denisovans, and there were different groups of early humans. And we don't know a lot about each one of those groups, but what we do know is that when old Homo sapien here came across them, you know what we did? We did two things with them.
We ate them.
And we humped them. So
we humped them and we killed them.
We humped them and we killed them. It's what we do. So the answer to do we eat it is yes. I would like to believe it, the answer to do we hump everything is no. We hope. Fingers crossed. But do we eat it? Yes. Yes, we eat it. And if you go way back, stuff ate us too. We just, we rose up. We rose up the old...
Yeah, there aren't a lot of animals we don't eat. Certain snakes, apparently, and puffer fish are avoided.
Well, because it can be very poisonous.
Exactly.
Same thing with the snake. You got to make sure you don't eat the old poison.
So would we have, as humans, would we have developed a toxin in our bodies?
Ooh.
If we were preyed upon by pretty much every living thing.
The microplastics.
There you go.
Yeah. See? Great. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we were, when you think about us, we're not very strong. We have very soft skin. We don't have claws. We don't have sharp teeth. If we weren't smart...
We're supposed to have brains, but...
Yeah, that's really the only thing we have, because if we weren't smart, we'd be in a lot of trouble. A lot of stuff out there killing us.
It's chicken.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe we wouldn't taste good, and maybe the animal kingdom would eat steak, a cow, just like we do.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, they do say all the time that...
Because maybe we're gross.
Very few animals actually like us. We aren't...
Like, yeah, they don't want to eat us.
No, they don't want to eat us. Like, when a shark bites you, it thinks that you're a fat seal, but it usually doesn't eat you. It spits you out. It's just that you bleed to death.
That's kind of dumb. Why don't they just eat us?
And they don't like us.
Well, but I don't think you can be that picky, can you?
Apparently you can.
As a shark?
Let me ask you this. Did you eat my delicious lamb slider today?
No.
Why not?
Well, I didn't want it.
Well, the shark doesn't want us.
Well, but sharks are different than humans. Like, I've got food aplenty.
Well, have you seen the
ocean?
Sharks
don't.
Oh, they do.
Well,
it's the ocean.
But, just eat it. Yeah. Eat the leg.
Well,
you chopped it off. You might as well eat it.
Well, I think you're being very judgmental right now to the shark. They say most of the time that a bear mauls someone, it doesn't eat us.
Yeah, see, they don't really need, well.
They maul you, and then they're like, I don't need this.
Which animal is it harder to find food, the shark or the bear?
The bear.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then they should eat us.
And they usually don't. If a bear does eat you, it's usually because it's starving, and it's getting ready for hibernation, and it can't find real food. So it takes us. They always say, be wary of skinny bears.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're hungry.
Yeah.
It's like those polar bears out there.
Yeah. They say if you find like a well-fed, like big bear, obviously it looks scary and it should be respected, but that's not the one that you should worry about. In fact, who was the, remember, is it Timothy Treadwell, that numbnuts, the dude that tried to befriend all bears?
Yeah.
One of the last footage he has is the bears are getting ready to go into hibernation pretty quick. And this moron is filming this adult male brown bear who clearly is malnourished. And he's talking about how it looks sickly and he feels bad for it. And he's getting right up close to it. And any bear expert's like, dude, what are you doing? You got a starving bear over there that can't seem to catch anything. And you're going up to it trying to pet it. Oh, well, I wonder what happened. Yeah, it was like, oh my God. That would be like the equivalent, like if you were starving, like out in the middle of the woods, and like a T-bone just waltzed up to you and was like, hey, feel pretty bad for you. I'm a delicious T-bone, but I feel some sympathy, and I'd like to tussle your hair a little bit. Well, guess what's happening to that T-bone? My man Timothy Treadwell didn't go so well for him. That bear didn't take him as the protector of anything.
If you were starving in the woods,
yeah,
and there was a giant, juicy, always hot, sizzling T-bone.
It's pretty good.
Medium rare.
Yeah.
Sitting there on a plate.
Yeah.
But for every day you went without touching it,
yeah,
I gave you $1 million. How many days would you go?
Oh, ooh. So I'm starving. How many days can you... You can go... I go like 10 days.
You're going to go 10 milli?
I think
you could not touch it? Like...
Yeah. I'm going to be hurting. But I know...
I think the hard part here is that you might... This is a battle of will.
Yeah, it is a battle
of will. I would say 10 and it would actually be 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. See, I think by day 4 or 5, you're eating that steak.
So here's where you need to, if you want to throw a real curveball into it, it's this. You don't know. Mrs. Mr. B style. I give you $1 million.
Every day.
Every day. But you don't know when the offer gets pulled. So,
then I'd eat it the next day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. At some point, maybe the steak just goes away and the money goes away and now you're left starving. So, how much do you push being hungry? Because, look, you can go a long time. You can go weeks without eating. And if I know that I just have to starve myself for 2 weeks, I can go a long time knowing that as soon as I'm done, I'm going to be fine, I'm going to be healthy, and I get millions of dollars. The problem becomes if I'm out in the middle of nowhere and I've now gone a week or without food and I'm weak and I don't know if I can get out of there, how much is money worth the risk of me possibly ending up really screwed over? That's where it gets dicey. But I think I can starve myself for the better part of a week to 10 days, knowing that if I did that, I'd never have to work again.
All right. There's your hypothetical for the day. We told you we'd rock you.
Well, it's like when my hypothetical that I've always posed, and I think it's way lower than anyone thinks. If you took your fingers but they were made of chicken fingers.
Yeah.
How long before you have no more fingers? And by the way,
how many fingers do you stop at?
But do I still have the dexterity of like?
No, they're gone.
Well, but
if
they're chicken fingers, I can't really do anything with my hands anyway.
It's normal. Like think about chicken fries. Then you have all the dexterity in your hands, but when they're gone, they're gone.
They act like normal fingers until you try to consume them, and then they're chicken fries.
You know, if you eat one, it's never coming back, and there's no money. And you'd be like, "Well, I would never eat them." I think you would. I think
pinkies are going for sure.
I think at some point.
Well, ring finger maybe.
And by the way, I don't even think it's like in a survival situation. I think you're drunk, high, bored, and you eat half a finger.
It's a Friday night.
Yeah.
Your house.
Yeah.
You don't want to go out. You don't want to get DoorDash. You're like, you know what? I'm not going to miss this.
Half a finger? Try half your fingers. You're going to eat 5 just because you were.
No, I think you take out your pinky on your non-dominant hand first. And you're okay with that. That's gone pretty soon.
Isn't your ring finger your least functional of your fingers? I think you want to keep the pinky.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. My pinky doesn't work anyways.
Yeah, well, yours might be a special case.
Well, I'm trying to think of the golf swing.
Yeah, golf swing.
I don't need it for my golf. It's non-dominant pinky. Yeah, yeah. I need my left-hand pinky.
Yeah, but the non-dominant, hey. I'm just saying, I think, think about that. And by the way, this isn't like this is the rest of your life. I think if you did this, there'd be a lot of humans walking around as like stubbies. There'd be a lot of people like, oh my God. And we'd look at him and be like, really, dude? Like you have no self-control? Like you're out to dinner and ranch, like you spill some ranch on your finger and you're like, damn it.
You can't just lick that
off. What am I supposed to do? Just wipe the ranch off? Yeah. No.
You go to lick it off and then you're like, oh my God, my finger. And next thing you know, it always starts with a little nibble and then you look down and you got a nub.
What's weird about it is like that is so not a great reward for like 10 chicken fingers.
It's a terrible reward.
Now you have no hand. Like,
yes.
What a terrible trade-off.
And yet
you're giving up is just awful. Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yes. I promise you one night of hard drinking and I would be down at least one finger. And if I'm being honest, it's probably more like 2.
And the shame of coming into work the next
day. Yes, because everyone.
I'm checking your fingers.
Everyone would
like,
know.
Like, I see where you've lost another one.
You're like,
would eating your chicken fingers inhibit your ability to escape a house fire? That's what the text line wants to know.
You come back from Vegas, you know you're missing a digit and everyone's going to know why.
All right. That's the opening segue for you.
Text line already says we should just do this all show.
Good night. Well, like I said, we are with Joey Harrington today. Yeah. We will be ranking his top 3 meats because Suk loves lamb.
I do.
You rarely have good questions.
Lamb's going to be in my top 3 more than likely.
So you'll want to tune in for that in a couple of hours. Headlines. Pacers do it again. That's next on The Fan. All right. Nice to have you along. Friday. We're going to party. Time for headlines where before we get to the Pacers, because we'll probably... talk about that a while.
I'm trying to find the Beaver game.
Although I don't know. It's on ESPN News. So you got to, because they're waiting for Louisville, Miami to finish.
It will be on ESPN2. It's on ESPN News and ESPN Plus.
Yeah. So they moved it until the Louisville, Miami battle ends.
Now I'm confused. I'm on YouTube TV. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, it says on there what the channels are.
Does it?
Yeah. See there on the lower left? See that there?
Yeah, but that's...
That's ESPN2, so go find ESPN News.
Oh, for God's sake.
Idiot. Good grief. What are you, 75?
It's possible. Well, I don't have YouTube TV. I don't know how this works. I'm going to end up watching A Football Life. LaDainian Tomlinson. Either that or Panama versus Mexico.
A week 11 replay of an AFC West battle.
You ever do that where you're watching TV and like maybe the clicker stops working or for whatever reason, like you're like, you know what? Like you just give up. Like you're too lazy to go change a battery or to figure something out. You're like, whatever this is, I'm watching it.
My stepdad will scroll the sports channels and he'll just see an NFL game and he'll be like, ooh, and he'll turn it on and it'll be like random week 7, week 9, whatever, two random teams. And he's like, I bet this is a good one. Doesn't remember it, enjoys it.
Do you have a sucker show? A show that will sucker you in every time?
Yeah, well, I have more sucker movies than I do sucker shows. There are several movies that if they're on, and my kids will make fun of me, they know you've got me for like at least a half hour. But shows, there's a handful that'll get me. Like if I'm scrolling and I see It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because I know it's only 30 minutes and it's halfway through, you're going to get me to click every single time. Cheers, a rerun of Cheers, like on a Nick at Night or TNT, whatever, gets me every time. And then like a Bar Rescue, for whatever reason, John Taffer yelling. Again, I'll swing by and see what that's all about for 5 to 10 minutes.
So YouTube TV, you said you don't have YouTube TV?
No.
We have YouTube TV at the house, and it's great. But what it does is it sort of learns what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever your wife was watching or whatever you were watching, it sort of has the favorites right at the top.
Yeah.
And I never get past that. I mean, it's like, here are a couple of options.
It's got your algorithm.
Yes.
And it started to have you figured out. And the more you watch, the yes. better information they have. And suddenly everything in the yes. first 5 or 6 screens is exactly what you want to watch.
So I never scroll. Mm. And I'm now into Beachfront Bargain Hunt.
Of course.
My wife loves that one.
That
she watches it all the time.
A great show.
Also because of the YouTube algorithm. We
yes,
have it too.
And it's always like the first thing on there. I'm like, dang it. I guess I got to watch that again.
I can't tell you how many times I'm come home and that's on in the background.
Yeah, it's a very good background show.
There's the little streaming box that I use. So everything's just broken down by categories. There's like local stations, national stations, each individual sport, you know, movies, whatever. There's all these different categories. But one of the categories is 24/7. And when I first got it, it took me like 8 months.
Is that like the Dateline?
Well, I didn't know. I just, at the very bottom, it says 24/7. And I was like, one day I'm scrolling and I'm like 24/7. So I go down and it is it's about 50 channels and each channel is one show that runs 24/7. And the different shows that are on there kind of rotate, but on my little box, I have 24 hours of Knight Rider. I have 24 hours of ALF. I have 24 hours of Gilligan's Island.
Ooh.
There's 24 hours of Law and Order. There's 24 hours of Seinfeld, 24 hours of The Simpsons. And sometimes it's the most, why do I need 24 hours of Knight Rider? But I'm telling you. Sometimes if there's nothing on and I'll scroll and I'm like, well, maybe, and I'll end up watching one episode of Knight Rider. And before I know it, like an hour and a half has gone by and my daughter will come down and be like, oh my God, you're still watching this. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Michael Knight roped me in. 18.
Okay. There's two things there.
Yeah.
One, you don't need 24 hours of anything.
No.
But what they're doing is they're making sure that you know that it's always there.
Yes.
100%. So you won't watch it for 24 hours.
No.
But if it's on 24 hours, you will always watch it.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Yeah.
And the second thing they're doing there is that's super cheap.
Yes.
It's they buy the rights to these shows, just run them concurrently, just keep running them. Sell ads and you make a mint.
It is such a weird thing to be scrolling through and you're like, oh my God, I haven't seen this show in 30 years. And you're like, well, I know what an hour and a half of my evening is going to be dedicated to. Here it goes. Click. And now I got 24 hours of it.
Yeah, and then there's also House Hunters. That shows up in my algorithm too, but that one's a little less cool. I like the beachfront ones because they often buy these real assholes.
Yeah.
And God, they fix them up so nice.
Yeah.
And they do it on like $40,000.
Here's the thing this is why I can't.
I'm like, there's no way. Well, a lot of them, they do their own work.
Well, they don't. And this is
sometimes
why,
they do.
This is what pisses me off because I have remodeled 2 older homes and I hate when the property brothers, those sons of bitches, are like, you know, you buy this house for $600,000 with a $150,000 renovation budget, and like you said, they give them a brand new home. Yeah, in what world are you renovating that home for when you actually go to renovate a home, it is staggering what it costs. And then there's always these monster overruns, and all the furniture that they put in these houses alone are going to cost you $60,000. I can't handle those shows because they piss me off because they're lies. It's all lies. It's TV voodoo witchcraft.
All right, so the Beavers are in the top of the second.
They still can't find it.
They are scoreless with the hated Florida State Seminoles.
Yeah.
It is a best of three super regional in Corvallis. Exciting times.
And freshman Dax Whitney for Oregon State is blowing the competition away. Fourth strikeout of the night already in the second inning.
Dax Whitney.
Dax.
Going against Joey Vellini.
Who apparently is some giant.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah. I saw him warming up on the internet, and he looked enormous.
I learned today he is not their ace. Their ace is a kid that's going to pitch in game two so he can pitch on normal rest.
Ooh, got to get this one. Huh? Got to get this one, huh?
Again, I would like to watch it, but I can't.
It's on ESPN News, dude.
I can't find ESPN News.
Oh, there's Golf Channel. You just click on that.
Oh, there you go. I can watch Kevin Harvick's Happy Hour. Oh, my God.
Go to the search function and then start typing in Oregon State.
I do.
Or how about this? Just put it on ESPN2 and anyway. It'll be on soon enough.
That's also going to happen, yeah.
You're right. I'm done.
All right. Pacers do it again. That's next. Here's Buck.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Well, we are like monkeys effing a football in here, trying to figure out what the hell just happened.
There's a lot going on
in the Beavers game.
We're all actively watching it closely and have no idea what's going on.
No,
that is
dude,
so
it
true.
It does not look like he scored.
We don't know what's happening.
So we're
but we're watching it.
Yeah. So the Whitney kid, the kid pitching for Oregon State, had five strikeouts. He's mowing everyone down, but he walked a guy, and then when the Florida State guy hits it down the line, and so it's first and second with two out. Guy from Florida State hits one deep into right field in the gap, bounces off the wall. The Oregon State kid scrambles around, picks up the ball off the warning track, throws it in, and throw someone out at the plate.
They throw a runner out of the plate, but we're not sure who at this point.
And so we're like, well,
we thought that was the second runner.
That had to be the second runner. But everything that we're seeing is...
It was the first
still run. A nothing-nothing ball game.
It says nothing-nothing hit, but it hasn't been updated. And on the broadcast, it went to commercial.
Yeah.
That had to be the second runner.
We're going to find out when it comes back that the lead runner didn't know how many outs there were and, like, stopped or didn't go
because
or something.
Because there were two out. When that hit, it's impossible that that guy at second
something
didn't
wonky's
it
happening.
Says 1-0.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
It now says 1-0. Right.
You're
ladies
welcome.
And gentlemen, they scored.
That was the worst job in TV history of
it
explaining
really
what the hell happened.
Well, in defense of us, we're hosting a radio show and the sound is off.
That's true.
But, yeah, they didn't post the run right away, so it was very hard to hard for idiots to follow. Okay. It's 1-0, Knowles.
All right. It's a hell of a play to throw him out, and I'm like, wait, what?
All right. So they threw out the second guy.
Threw out the second guy.
And by the way, the guy in right field, come on, bro.
Yeah, you got to make that catch.
Keep your eye on the ball. You catch that ball. You don't even have to jump.
Yeah. Nimmo had one of those the other day for the Mets, cost him a ball game.
No way.
Yeah. Yep.
Well.
Just got turned around.
I don't know if you saw, but my Pacers did it again last night.
Unfreaking believable.
So great.
So whatever it was with 2.5 minutes or whatever, they were down by 9. And this is like the fifth time we've seen one of these stats from the Pacers. But in the NBA Finals, teams that were up by 9 with whatever time was left were 0- or I guess teams that were trailing by that were 0 for 181?
2.
82.
You almost nailed that.
And now it's 1 for 180. They can't possibly keep doing this,
Let me give you the stat. In NBA Finals history, teams trailing by 9 or more in the final 3 minutes of a game were 0 and 182. And it is now 1 and 182.
What is happening?
They're amazing. And I love them, and I want to hug Tyrese
Haliburton. They're like the Terminator. They just don't stop.
Well, I think, one, you have inexperience for Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay? That's one thing. Two, I feel like, Haliburton is just freaking a god when it comes to clutch shots this playoffs. Like, you can't really even explain what he's doing.
No. It's an all-time heater.
Yes. Well, Windhorst. He was on ESPN this morning, and he said that Tyrese Haliburton right now, this is the greatest clutch shooting performance of all time.
It is.
In the postseason. And you can't really even argue it.
No, he is
12 of 14. Here are the stats. He is 12 of 14 inside 2 minutes to tie or take the lead in these playoffs.
Yeah.
He has missed 2 out of 14 shots, and he is 4 of 4 on shots in the final 5 seconds of fourth quarter or overtime in these playoffs. The rest of the league is 3 of 16 in that scenario. He is 4 of 4.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And he's done it in every round. It's not like he's stacking these all up in one time. Remember, he cooked Giannis on the layup to win the game. And by the way, last time I checked, Giannis, pretty good defender. And then against Cleveland, he had the silly one where he ran like he was going to shoot a layup.
Wasn't it off his missed free throw? Was that what
it
was?
Yeah, missed the free throw,
and then
decided to just back up, run back behind the three, drill that one. And then against the Knicks, of course, we have the choke thing that happened. And now we had last night's buzzer beater.
It's amazing. They stole that game. They were down. Dude, how many times did they turn it over in the first half?
19, I believe.
That's unbelievable.
There was another stat. I think I sent it to you, Isaac, and I'll have the numbers close, but it was like they had 17 more turnovers and 18 fewer shot attempts and still won the game.
And they won the game. Yeah. So they were down 15 in the fourth quarter. I think the other thing that happened, so Halliburton's just on a freaking historic heater.
Yeah.
But I thought, and then Oklahoma City, you know, I mean, they're inexperienced, but that's not the first time the Pacers have done that to a team, even with experience. So that's what they do. I think that the thing about them is, when they get down late, they're uniquely equipped to close a gap faster because they are forced to go even faster.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City's defense last night was suffocating for much of the game. Like that defense is really good.
Yeah.
But once Indiana became desperate, first of all, they knocked down a bunch of shots. I mean, like freaking Obi Toppin hitting 5 threes. Yeah. It's like they just made the shot. One guy who was the guy who banked one in. But they get going so fast, they really sped Oklahoma City's defense up and got some pretty good looks because they were just desperate to close the gap on the lead.
They have a desperation speed that's hard for other teams to match.
And that desperation speed, only, it's funny, like, I guess you probably can't play at that
No.
Pace the whole game.
Well, their regular speed already stresses defenses a lot. Yes. So when you kick that up a notch, you're right. You probably can't do it, but it's like drinking through a fire hose at the end of the game, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah. Watching them, and I am fully rooting for Indiana here. And watching them, I don't know how you feel, but when they get the ball in the half court, they'll score off of makes. Yeah. You know, that's their whole thing. But when they get bogged down on the half court, that's when you go, oh my God, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, the faster they go, the better they are, right? Get the ball out of your hands, push it, and good things will happen. But then Oklahoma City did a really good job of getting back and just setting up their half court. And that's when you're like, oh my God, Indiana, they had no chance. But once they get desperate and they're down 15 in the fourth quarter, they just start freaking flying around, and it just and then they just get into that flow of their offense. They already play fast anyway, and do that through Oklahoma City in a tizzy.
Yeah, and stuff just goes their way. They had the one where they shot the air ball on the three, but Siakam's underneath the rim and he grabs it and puts it in. It's like,
yeah, that was a bad shot.
Yeah,
that was okay. So that one right there. That was a half court set where they went slow, and I think it was Nembhard who shot that, and it was like, oh my God, what are you doing? The second he shot that, it was like, what are you doing?
And there's
Siakam with a lucky layup.
Yeah,
were elements of luck. You mentioned the banked three too. I mean, that was a horrendous shot, and it goes in.
Who
off
hit
the glass.
That? Was that Siakam?
Turner?
Might have been Turner.
Might have been. Yeah, but it's just like
it was a big.
There is something weird. Because, like, all game, right, we were watching in the studio, and then I was listening on the way home, and right as I was pulling into the driveway, Indiana hits a three to cut it to six right at the end of the third quarter. And you're like, oh, man, that's six. And what does Oklahoma City do right before the end of the quarter? They push it to nine with a three of their own. And then I'm watching it, and it just – every time Indiana – had something that pulled it within single digits, Oklahoma City would just push it back. And you're like, all right, Oklahoma City's just 10 to 15 points better. Until, like you said, the final 3 minutes where Oklahoma City, I think, again, lost some poise and sloppy play. And Indiana just, I really do think it's something to the frantic pace that breaks the other team. I'm convinced of it.
Well, it's just the only way that you can really it's the only way you can break that Oklahoma City defense. Yeah. Like, they're just not, Oklahoma City is so good defensively, you have to play that pace in order to get what you need.
Indiana doesn't turn the ball over. I think they're top five in the league in not turning the ball over, and there was 25, 26 of them last night. So, and yet at the end, they didn't turn it over. They you got to give Indiana credit. I think they adjusted to Oklahoma City's pressure, and like you said, just started pressing the ball. And
well, they got a lot of guys all over the place. Like there's shooters everywhere. They're fast.
They had six or seven dudes in double figures last night. They're really balanced.
And Carlisle gets them to like just kind of free flow a little. Like he didn't. I thought it was smart that he didn't call a timeout after SGA's miss. And by the way, that's another thing. SGA, the MVP of the league, had his look to win that game.
Yep.
Or at least take the lead in that game. And he missed it.
Yeah. He had 38, though. I'd like.
Well, but you know what, dude? Reputations come down to these shots. Yeah. And Halliburton to me is as fun to watch as, well, maybe not as fun, but he is the closest thing to Steph Curry in terms of fun in the NBA that I've seen since Curry. Yeah.
But only in the last 2 minutes.
He is so.
Yeah, he did not play a good game last night, but it doesn't matter because at the end, when you needed him.
He is so amazing. And I think the thing about him is, you know, it's like when all the clutch guys, you know, Jordan was clutch, Kobe had that clutch gene, right? Those guys were so sweet and smooth and pretty. And Halliburton is just the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It is so ugly and clunky.
People put the side by side when Steve Urkel like would play basketball. That's what he looks like. He's kind of weird, long and lanky, and it is the shot's not very pretty. He jumps when he throws passes, and yet
I love him.
He's
like Gumby stumbling around out there.
The Halibon, he did it again.
The Halibon.
By the way, it's really ugly, and you should not do it. But the Halibon striking Oklahoma City.
Yeah, even though that was a domestic job.
What was that?
Well, people.
Signs?
No, the bombing.
People are calling this an Oklahoma City bombing.
I know, but was it a sign that someone had?
No,
or?
People like are doing memes on Twitter. You know, they put him in on Bin Laden's head.
Yeah,
you know, and
Taliban.
Then, Yeah, and it's, oh, the Taliban struck Oklahoma City, and then they put up the building, the Oklahoma City Federal Building, with the face sheared off, and then they put it on the front of the Oklahoma City, the basketball arena, and you're like, ah!
Let's not do that, except that the guy who blew up the Oklahoma City building was a white American guy.
Yeah.
What the hell are people doing?
I was scrolling through Twitter, and it was awesome. I was like, oh my God, he did it again. Then I started seeing that, and I was like, hey, guys, maybe...
Do you think the person who did that thought that that was like Taliban that blew up the Oklahoma City?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's just, it's not.
It's in poor form and poor taste anyway, but it also doesn't make any sense.
It's no longer applicable, but they just ran with the bit that was already working.
Yeah. And I was sucked because I was really enjoying the Taliban thing was fun and I was really all about it. And then I saw that and I was like, he took some of the fun out of it. Like, don't do that.
You got to back away from from the bit.
I did. I'm like, let's just shove that one over there a little bit, not do the real domestic terrorism thing.
All right. Well, when we come back, we've got the best call of the Halliburton shot.
Oh, yeah. There's so many good ones out there.
Oh, but this is the best one.
I'm guessing this is the South Korean one.
It's the best one. And then we have some bad news out of Oregon football.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That is a piece of bad news.
It makes Buck sad.
And it makes me sad.
That is coming up on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hi. We're watching the Beavers, who are losing 1-0. They're headed to the bottom of the third.
My man knows this Dax Whitney here. I think he's got, 7 strikeouts? He he had first and third with one out and mowed both of the guys down.
He had first and second, nobody out.
First and second, nobody out. First and third, one out. And he ended up striking out the next two. My man is throwing gas.
I think he's thrown between 92 and 95.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the whole thing, but I have not seen him throw anything other than a fastball.
Let's forget about the curveball. Daxie, give him the heater.
He's the Corvallis Bartolo Colon. Short arm fastballs all day.
Yeah. It certainly looks odd. Like you brought it up. He looks like he's a catcher throwing it back to the mound.
Yeah, there's not a lot of like long whip to his motion. He just throws it right from his ear, but he gets some heat on it.
Do you think they love it when we don't watch them all year and then we watch them once and have all these opinions?
Like we know them.
Hot opinions. I'm like, oh.
I don't know. Dax, pretty good.
I have no idea if he's like their star or not, but my man's out there throwing gas, mowing seven strikeouts through three.
All right. Let's get to the best call from last night's NBA Finals game, and it is not from ABC.
No.
It is this.
바깥에 없이나요, 없이나요.
자, 언더독, 언더독인 인디애나가 익숙한 상황을 맞이한다. 할리버튼,
버튼을
건네!
Oh, by the way, drop right there.
That is the last wow.
Wow!
Yeah.
Right at the end.
The South Koreans.
We've needed to upgrade our wow
yeah.
around here. And I think we've done
it. I think we found it.
We just found it.
It's so good.
Yeah, the South Koreans.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who knew they were so into it? But and you can hear them say Indiana in there, which yeah. I thought was interesting.
And Halliburton.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm not certain if you're aware, but I don't think there's a Korean word for Indiana other than Indiana.
I was not aware of that. Yeah.
Like if Isaac Rop were doing something, they would say Isaac Rop.
Yeah. Cool.
I did send that to my daughter over there. Thought she would she'd appreciate it.
You're speaking Japanese
or South Korean.
Bad news from Oregon camp.
Yeah, this one sucks.
Evan Stewart, Oregon wide receiver, top returning wide receiver.
Yeah.
Torn patellar tendon.
Yeah.
And he could miss the entire season.
Yeah, that's, I would assume he's going to miss the entire season because he obviously has NFL aspirations. So my guess is, you know, I mean, I guess if you made a long run, you know, into the postseason, do you try to come back? But you've got bigger fish to fry going into the NFL. So, and that's a very, very serious knee injury. So stinks for him. And hopefully, you know, I don't know if you get a medical red shirt or if you just get healthy and try to get ready for the NFL combine, but that certainly is a blow because he was a guy that people thought was, you know, a first team all Big Ten type player.
Yeah. So he's in his final year.
Yeah.
So he could redshirt and come back, yeah. but,
or if he thinks he's good enough, then and you're ready to go for the combine, you head to the NFL.
But their top four pass catchers are gone.
Yep.
Sadiq is back, which is great, mm-hmm. but who steps up at wide receiver?
Well, the big one that you're hearing is just it's the freshman kid.
DeCorian Moore DeCorian out of Duncanville, Moore. Texas.
Ah, he's, true freshman?
Yeah, he's the number one receiver in the country. Some people thought he was the number one non-quarterback in the country. And the reports out of spring is that he looks the part.
Yeah, he's dominated every All-Star game he's played in, and from All-Americans to whatever else, he is supposed to be every bit the number one receiver pedigree.
Yeah, so I think, obviously, you don't love counting on a freshman, but, I mean, two of the best receivers in the country last year were freshmen. You know, look at Ohio State and Alabama. So there's certainly that. Gary Bryant Jr., I think, has been around the block.
He missed a lot of last year due to injuries, yep. So hopefully you get something out of him.
So you're hoping something out of him. And then, you know, some of these freshmen, and you've been building up this, recruiting class, and so it's time to go.
Justice Lowe has showed some flashes, but he just had a hard time getting on the field with this last crew out there.
Yeah, because he's a little older, because he's a redshirt junior.
But he kind of got stuck behind Tez, Trayshawn, and Evan Stewart, so he may be someone who steps up. And then Jurion Dickey is another kid that didn't get a lot of time just because of youth and being buried on the depth chart, but he could potentially impact the receiving core.
So it's not ideal. I mean, obviously you were counting on, you were counting on him. And then what is it? Malik Benson is the Florida State transfer. I think coming in, so he's a senior, again, kind of next man up. And you do have the best running back in the portal in Mekhi Hughes. So, you know, kind of come out and run the ball. There are people that think that Oregon may take a step back. I mean, obviously, the way Oregon recruits and the momentum they have, Oregon is going to be a very, very good team every year. But when you look at the fact that it is a rebuilt offensive line, but two of those guys that you're rebuilding, both are NFL players. I mean, Isaiah World, who's your left tackle, some people say he could be a top 15 pick in the draft. So you got the two best tackles in the portal that are coming in, but it is a rebuilt offensive line. The back should be fine with Hughes, and you've got some depth behind him. But your receiving core, obviously now big questions with your number one returning guy being out. And then the other big one is, you went from three straight years of Heisman Trophy caliber quarterbacking senior leadership to Dante Moore, and we just don't know. So,
you know, their over-under is pretty high.
Yeah.
Win total.
Well, you would assume...
It's like 10, right?
You would assume that from a talent basis, you're going to be better than most of the teams you're playing. But I think at Oregon, the standard is no longer 10 games, right? You're coming off a season where you were the number one team in the country, you beat Ohio State at home, and you went into the playoffs undefeated. I think that... If that is the standard, I think that is... I think that's unrealistic. I there's just, to me, when I look at this team and the amount of question marks you have. Oh, and by the way, you've got a rebuilt defense as well. I know you bring back some guys on the edge, but I mean, you're in most of your interior defensive line, including again, very high NFL picks, gone. A lot of your senior veteran leadership at linebacker, gone. So there's just, I don't look at this team and think to myself, this is a. This is a top three team that wins the Big Ten. I think to me, when you look at Oregon, I think what you're hoping is that because of the expanded playoff, you can still afford to lose a couple games. The schedule, I don't think, is a murderer's row. I think the hope is that if you do stumble by the end of the year, a lot of those guys have found their roles, especially at quarterback, and that you're one of those teams at the end of the year, you find a way to get into the playoff and you're a dangerous team because you're playing well. But I just don't know if it's realistic to think that this Oregon team is going to be the same team that we've seen the last couple years. I just think there's too many question marks, too many new pieces, and especially the quarterback play. The quarterback play is the one that, and I know that they're really high on Dante Moore, but it's just asking a lot from a kid who really hasn't played a ton of football to come in and replace what you've seen the last couple years, which is, again, really, really high-level senior-type quarterback. And by the way, both in the NFL.
Their over-under win total is 10.5.
Yeah. I think that's...
Even as a fan, I'm more likely, as a gambler, I'm more likely to bet the 10 that they get to stop at 10 than get to 11.
Well, that's what I mean.
I mean, that's a tall order.
The schedule is, they've reloaded on defense, and the schedule is not hard.
It's not a killer.
So if you say that maybe Penn State clips them out there, they would have to lose one other one, right?
Yeah.
And that, you know, where's that going to be? At Iowa, they play at Washington. They do have USC at home.
Wisconsin in there. And then the other one, they just kind of keep an eye, and I know we're all kind of writing them off, but year two under Jed Fish, and they found some stability there. I'm not saying Washington to me is not a playoff team, but I don't think that Washington is. I think Washington's going to be a lot better than what.
Well, that's your rival.
What people think.
It's up there.
It's up there.
Last game.
That would be one that I would just, I would kind of keep an eye on. But Oregon can be a playoff team. I think that's the expectation every year, to find a way into the playoff. And I think this can be a playoff team. But this in my mind, this will be a step back from what you've had the previous 2 years.
One team is planning to make a tsunami type offer for Giannis. We'll tell you which team that is, and what if the Inside the NBA guys did college football? That's next on The Fan. Wow!
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.